You're listening to Riverside Community Church Sermons. Follow along with this message in the Bible app and see our website at connect2riverside.com for all information about our church and what we're doing in the community.
Into the series that we started the last couple of weeks, the soundtracks of Christmas, because we are a worshiping community. That's who we are as followers of Jesus. In the last 3 weeks, we've looked at three different songs. We looked at the song of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who said, "All I want to do in my life is just magnify God, glorify him with my life, and I want to praise him for his justice, for his mercy." John, last week, our senior pastor, led us through the song of Zechariah, where Zechariah struggled and had trouble trusting that God would come through with his promises, but he saw that God was faithful time and time again, and it was about who he is and what he's doing. And this morning, we're going to be looking at a man by the name of Simeon, who is even less known than Zechariah. I mean, everybody basically almost on planet Earth knows who Mary is, right? The mother of God. Zechariah, if you grew up in church, maybe you've heard the name. Simeon, not as much. He would have been like end credit, key gripper kind of guy if you're watching movies and like waiting, looking at the role of it. It would have been total background. But he sings this beautiful song this morning that we get to look. And all of these songs point to Jesus. They are songs that point to Jesus as our Savior, and that's why we're here. And so we want to celebrate that by singing these songs and looking at the songs that they sang. Old Testament, New Testament, men, women, angels, all of them, and even time itself, it seems like is all pointing to Jesus. And Simeon, that's his hope. That's his dream. That's what he is looking forward to in the future, is this promise that God made him that he would see salvation. Not that he would hear about salvation, not that he would read about salvation, but that he would see salvation before he died. Because it's one thing to see and to read something, but it's a whole nother thing to experience it. And I was thinking of that this week as I was thinking about the song, "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas." I grew up in a place where it began snowing in October. It did not stop until March, and you were like an ice cube until then. And it did not go away. It did not melt. It was always a white Christmas, whether we wanted to or not. And so when people ask me why I live in Texas, I say, that's why. Because I was not dreaming of a white Christmas. I was dreaming of Christmas in Hawaii with like palm trees on a beach. You get it. Thank you. Like it. But if you grew up in Texas and you're like, no, I understand. I would love to see a white Christmas. Has there ever been a white Christmas here? There has. Okay. All right. Well, I remember a few years back when it did snow. It was our second year here in Texas, and we were blown away by it. It was 2017, I think. Not the snowvid year. That snow was terrible. But the first year, when we first moved here, and it felt like our whole neighborhood was outside. It was like, oh my gosh, it's actually snowing in San Antonio. Like, this is amazing. We took a picture of our backyard. You can see it in the next one. And we sent it to the previous owner of the house. He said, I lived in that house for 17 years and never saw snow in the backyard. And we were blown away by snow. It's kind of funny because that was the first year that I think in my life I was amazed by snow. For most of my life, it was routine. It was expected. I had gotten tired of it. I moved away from it. It became so familiar to me. It always happened. It always came. There was nothing new or marvelous about it. And I think sometimes, for me personally, sometimes I can approach the Christmas season like that as well. I know the stories. I know what to expect on Christmas Eve. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be amazing. We're going to sing Silent Night, and it's going to be this wonderful moment of community together. There's going to be some really good cookies here that are home-baked and some no-bake cookies, because I know somebody wants to make those. And it's going to be wonderful. But you come to expect it. We can kind of get into a rut that it's just like, this is what happens. This is familiar. This is routine. In the experience of Christmas, we don't begin to marvel at it, and we forget that. And what I hope you see this morning is when you set everything else aside, the lights, the trees, the songs, the gifts, the joy of Christmas is that we get to receive Jesus, and that is not something that is routine or ordinary at all. As we wrap up this series, I want to give you kind of a roadmap of where we're going this morning, so you'll see the three places that we're going this morning. The first is that we're going to look at Simeon's world, and then we're going to look at Simeon's life briefly, because those two things lead into his song. His song is the outflow, is the overflow, it's the byproduct of his world and his life with God. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2 in your blue Bibles. I want to invite you to be there with me as well. It is on page 486. I want you to see this with me as well. Luke chapter 2. As you're turning there, there's a couple of important events leading up to this moment that we'll see with the Song of Simeon. Most important of those events is that Jesus is born. Kind of a big deal. Yeah. All of the celebrations, everything that's happened, the angels coming, the star, the shepherds, the gifts, the magi, all of those things have already happened, and it's kind of settled down, and Mary and Joseph have this baby that they have to raise, and they want to raise him the right way, and they're following the Old Testament law, and so they are bringing him to the temple to be dedicated, and that's where they run into this man named Simeon. And so that's kind of the background of it. Here it is in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Now when they say he was waiting on the consolation of Israel, it's a little confusing to us, but it would have been, yep, I know exactly what you're talking about, to the original readers. The idea of waiting for the consolation of Israel is this waiting for time of comfort. It was a direct quote from Isaiah 40 of comfort, comfort my people. And what Isaiah was reminding of them and bringing back into their mind was saying, in some of the most darkest moments in Israel's history, God shows up with consolation. God shows up as the comforter, and God will do that again. Simeon is saying, we've been in hard times before. Israel has been down this road before, and we'll make it through one because God has been faithful. This past week, my wife and I celebrated 16 years of marriage, and thank you, appreciate it. She's done a good job with me, let me tell you. And I know what you're thinking about the picture, a couple of things. No, this is not my prom picture, this is actually my wedding picture. Second one is we've been married for 16 years, even though I look 16. And Rana is more beautiful today than she was back then. And we have been through seasons in those 16 years. We've had kids with medical complications. We've had financial struggles. We've had to move our family 1,000 miles and uproot everything that we know, not to mention all of the other things that come in 16 years of figuring out life together. We've been through seasons. But we're at that point where we know that there's another side to hard seasons. And if you're in one of those hard seasons, please hear the words of Isaiah 41. Comfort, comfort my people. There's other sides to hard seasons when you put your trust in God, when there's faith in God, and when you see and allow him to move in your life. Please hear that. But that is the hope that Simeon is banking on. It's not just coming out of the blue. It's, no, we've been here before. We can get through this. That's who God is, and that's what he does, and that's what we need to be reminded of, is comfort and hope in hard times. And to sit with this just a little bit more, I want to invite you to turn to a page that maybe you haven't opened often in your Bible. It is on page, there's actually not a page number because it's blank, but it would be 456 in your Bibles. If you have your blue Bibles, I want you to open to this page with me, 456. This is a page that we pass over. We call it the years of silence. It's the gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We call it this great silence. But this is the world that Simeon would have was growing up behind him. And this is not a world that we are too familiar with. It's easy to think, oh, if it's called the Great Years of Silence, not a whole lot happened. But in these 400 years, there were massive movements in the world. And so what I want to do is I want to do a quick fire, two-minute, three-minute overview of 400 years of history, but I want you to hear my heart in it as we go through it, before we go through it. The story of God is the story of his people. God moving in his people. His story is history, and you are a part of that. This matters because when we look at this blank page, we remember that even when there's silence, God is still moving. So here it is. 400 years of silence. Somebody put their timer ready, set, go. Okay, so it starts out with the Babylonians. The Babylonians come in, they conquer Israel, and they take them off into captivity. They are dragged from their homes and forced to live in a place hundreds of miles from where they were. And they did that for quite a few years, and that's where the book of Daniel was written from. After that, the Babylonians were conquered by the Persians. If you've ever seen the movie 300, there's the Spartans, and then there's the Persians that are coming in, if you know what I'm talking about. Those were the Persians that came, and they took over the Babylonians. And the Persians said, y'all can go home. You can go home. We'll manage you from a distance. And that's actually where Nehemiah was written as well. And so for hundreds of years, they were home. They were able to rebuild, but they were still under an oppressor. They just moved from one to another. Well, not too long after that, a young man by the name of Alexander the Great, maybe you've heard of him, kind of a big deal in history, came and conquered the entire known world. He took over the Greeks. He took over their land. He took over all of those places, and Israel became under Greek control. That's why we have a Greek New Testament, and that's why so much of the known world, it even influences our world today, is brought from Alexander the Great in that Greek culture. Well, after he died, the empire was divided up into different sections, and there was a group that took over Israel, and if the other people that were overseeing them were bad, these guys were worse. They were terrible to the people. They would murder the Israelites for fun. They were the most oppressive of them, and at one point, their leader took a pig into the Jewish temple, which would have been the most slap-in-the-face thing that you could do to a Jew, and slaughtered it there. Well, that was kind of the breaking point. At this point, we're about 170 years before Jesus born. Are y'all still with me? You doing okay? Is this okay? Okay. Appreciate it. I know it's like Christmas break, and some of the students that are back from college are like, come on, I just got done with all the finals, right? Like, but I think, again, even in the silence, this is all things that are happening on this blank page. So revolutions come. They try to take over these governments. It doesn't work. And then all of a sudden, the Romans come and take over everything. And if you thought the Greeks were bad, if you thought the people that were ruling before were bad, they were the worst. They ushered in this time called the Pax Romana, if you want to get really nerdy. It's a Roman peace, but it was far from peaceful if you weren't a Roman. And so during this time, all Israel had done in these 400 years is move from oppression to oppression to oppression, just with different names. That was the world that Simeon was raised in. There's nothing silent about this. Some of the most game-changing, world-shaking events happen in these 4 years, and it's almost as if everything is building up to this moment of, who's going to come and fix this? Paul, the Apostle Paul, looking back on this, writes in Galatians 4, he says, when the fullness of time had come, when all of the pieces were at the right moment, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. God is sovereign. God is leading history. And the arrival of Jesus was at the exact right time. Just think about all of those things as the backdrop of Jesus coming to earth. The world was waiting so was Simeon. But even in that waiting, we remember, even when there's silence, God is still moving. Question: are you in a blank page season? Has there been a season of your life that looks like this, where you were hoping for something, where you were expecting something, but it just didn't come? The years and years of trying to have that baby that was still left at a blank page. The paycheck, the job change, the situation change that you were hoping to get through, and it feels like you're just stuck on this blank page. Your son or your daughter to come home to know Jesus, and it feels like nothing's happening, like you're just talking to the wall when you're talking to God. Maybe you've been waiting for God. Maybe there was a promise that he said years ago, and you're like, I feel like that was God. But I don't know, because I've been waiting a long time. Some of you have friends, family members that you've been praying for to know Jesus for years, and you're like, God, are you even doing anything? Some of you are waiting on results from the doctor for your loved one right now. And that blank page is scary. I had a professor when I was going for a pastoral ministries degree. He was my spiritual formation professor, actually. First day of class, my sophomore year of it, he says, hey, just so you guys know, there's going to be a lot of substitutes this year. I was diagnosed with cancer a few months ago. And so during class, I'm also going to be undergoing chemo treatments. And so we'd see him from time to time. And about halfway through the class, he tells this story. Never forget it. He talked about how much wasted time it felt like driving to the treatments. How much alone time, how much he felt alone during the treatments. Nobody else was in there with him. He was by himself. And he felt like there was just so much time that was wasted, and he had no idea why. And then in his phone, he was praying about it, in his phone, he decided to change the schedule, the appointment in his phone from chemo to time with God. And he begins to use this time, and he begins to see that this blank page that he had, this horrible, painstaking time that he had, was an opportunity for him to grow closer to God. And so he began to talk about how he looked forward with his time with God in chemo, if you can imagine that. It was a beautiful thing, and he ended up dying a few years after that. But it was this wonderful recognition of, I'm preparing for something else. I'm preparing for what's next. And that waiting time was not wasted. And so please, please hear that. If you are in waiting, it is not wasted, is when you're trusting God in that. Let's continue on. Verse 26, it says, it had been revealed to him, that Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child in to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took his arms and praised God. Okay, so just to kind of set the scene, this is transitioning to Simeon's life, but to set the scene, this is that moment that you have in the grocery store. Actually, happened to me and my son last night. If you have babies, or if you had little ones and you're pushing the stroller through like HEB or Walmart, and somebody comes up to you and looks at you and like, oh, can I see your baby? And the parents are like, sure, what are you about to do, right? And there's all of these question marks that you begin to ask of like, what are they going to say? Are they going to make a comment about my kid? Did we change his diaper, right? Like, don't lean in too much because you might be surprised. I wasn't expecting this, right? This could be that awkward moment that they have, but it's this beautiful moment. That's everything that's going through Mary and Joseph's mind, but the only thing singled out in Simeon's mind, because it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, is the promise of God. They're thinking of the to-do list. They're thinking of all the things that they have to get done. He just sees a promise fulfilled in this little baby. Look back again at verse 27. It says that he took him in his arms. promises that God makes us don't always look the way that we expect it, right? I mean, can you imagine Simeon hearing, hey, you're going to see the Messiah, but do you think that any of the times that he's like, I wonder what that moment's going to be like, do you ever think that he thought he was going to hold him in his arms? Maybe he thought he would see him riding in, you know, as a warrior from a distance and be like, that's it. Maybe he would see him in the temple and it was this great message, something like that. But to hold God in his arms, do you ever think that he thought that? One artist trying to understand this drew this beautiful painting. And as he was trying to decide what to name this painting, he's like, how do I picture what Simeon's eyes, what Simeon's face looked like in this moment? And he names the art Simeon the God Receiver. Simeon is this God Receiver. I mean, that's Christmas. We are receiving God. That is the joy. Simeon becomes the first that gets to take him in his arms, and that is what we get to experience at Christmas. Not just reading it, not just hearing about it, but seeing and experiencing for ourselves. And that's what leads to Simeon's song. This moment that he holds this promise of God in his hands to him in the Savior of the world. Here's the song that comes out of that moment. Verse 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight for all nations, a light for the revelation to Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Listen to all the emotions that's in this. I mean, bound up in this song is the pain of generations of waiting and longing for God to show up. Every word of the prophets in the Old Testament that pointed to Jesus are in this song. In this song is the hope of humanity for a rescuer, not just for Israel, but for all mankind. I mean, look at the similarity to this in Isaiah 49:6. It says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel that I kept. I will also make a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. And on this side of the cross, on this side of the gospel, we're like, yeah, it's for everybody. But for them, this was mind-blowing. This wasn't a promise just for one person. This wasn't even just a promise for one nation. This was for all mankind. And he recognizes that. As he's receiving God in his hands, he's saying, oh my gosh, this is so much bigger than I thought. Beautiful promise that he gets to receive God. But he says it's for everyone. And that's what blew him away. It was for all people. Simeon's song is a song of salvation. Because Jesus didn't just come to redeem Israel from oppressors like Babylon, Persia, the Romans, the Greeks, but to rescue all of humanity from the weight of sin, shame, and guilt. That is why Jesus came. That is why we celebrate Christmas. That is why we celebrate Advent. Not only do we look backwards at what he did coming to us, dying on the cross, resurrecting, but it also causes this stirring in our hearts to look forward to the day that he will rescue us once again. I mean, Simeon looked into the eyes of the way, the truth, and the life. Simeon looked in this baby's face and saw the only person that could save humanity from the oppression that we all need to be saved from. Simeon held in his arms. He held the arms that would be stretched out on a Roman cross for our sins. Just think of that. Think of that in the context of the world that Israel, Simeon, had been through. Simeon sang the song that Acts 4:12 tells us, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Simeon sang to the one that Philippians 2 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And Simeon is in that moment, recognizing who this is for. So what's our response to this? As we look at our world, as we look at our life in our songs. The last couple of weeks, I've gotten into this kind of rhythm, routine of talking to people about 2024, and I'm like, next year is going to suck. Like, it's going to be a rough one, guys. Get ready for it, right? I mean, inflation is getting worse. The housing market is rough. Elections coming up. The world's on fire. Our pets' heads are falling off. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of feel. And I've gotten so routine into that expectancy of next year. But what this reminds me of, what history reminds me of, is that we've been through this before. God is faithful. He'll do it again. God always shows up at the right time, the right moment. The arrival of Jesus is the moment that changed the world. When he comes again, it's going to change everything. Jesus is the hope of the world. That is the message that we have for the world. For your life, maybe your life again is this blank page that you're staring at. It's been a long time since you've been waiting for what God has promised to you, and it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to look back at this and say, did I miss it or did I mess it up? It's hard to wait and wait and wait, but it's not wasted. If you have put your faith in Jesus, that is not wasted time. God's promises don't always look the way that we think. And in hard seasons, there is another side of it. This could be the first year that your family picture looks different because you have a loved one that's not there. This could look totally different because you're here, you're new. This is a new area for you and you're trying to figure out your family's new traditions in a new place. A job change. The list could go on. And there are people in our lives that need to hear this song of salvation this morning. And that is the joy of what Simeon's song is about. Maybe you've been coming here a while. Maybe you've shown up with a spouse. Maybe a friend or a coworker from work invited you. Maybe you just saw us online and said, I'll check it out. That church looks different. Please don't miss how important this is to the Christmas season. It can be so easy to get into the routine of, this is what we expect. It always snows. But listen to these words again. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. Through Jesus coming, through the arrival of Jesus, we get to be a part of the family of God. We are invited into the kingdom of God, and we get to bring others into that. That is the joy of Christmas. The joy of Christmas is we receive Jesus. The Son was given. Unto us a child born. Unto us the Son was given. He was given for us to receive. And so what is your song? This morning I want to invite you, one of the traditions, one of the regular parts of our rhythm here at Riverside is we want to be good listeners. We want to practice listening. We want to have a heart posture. The same as Simeon. That's ready to receive God. So I want to invite you to open your hands this morning with me. Just open your hands and spend time listening. Spend time waiting. Spend time praising God. Many of you are in this waiting season, wondering what's next on the blank page. Don't lose hope. If you're struggling with that, please let us pray with you this morning. God is still moving. You can still trust him. Sometimes the busyness of this season, sometimes all of the expectations, sometimes the weight of this season is so overwhelming. And with these open hands, we get to set some of those things aside and just receive Jesus. Maybe you need to pray for someone else. Maybe it's a person that's been on your mind, your heart, to invite to Christmas Eve. But your prayer for them is just, God, will you be received in their heart this year, this time? Maybe it's you. Maybe it's as simple as that, that you're saying, God, I just want you this Christmas. Set everything else aside. Let's listen. So God, it's with that posture that we come to you. The same as Simeon. Arms open, ready to receive you. Jesus, you are the great gift. You are the hope of the world. The promised one. The one we look back and celebrate your birth. And the one that we look forward to and put our ultimate hope in. God, would you build in us muscle to wait well. To be with you in the waiting time. To lean into your promises, to not lose hope, not give up. And would you help us to invite others to receive that same gift this Christmas, Jesus? You are the light of the world. And it's in your name we pray. All God's people said, amen.
And amen. Thank you, Jason, for this morning. Such a timely word for us. And friends, as we wrap up our morning, I want to remind you, as always, our prayer teams will be right over here against this wall, to your left, to my right. And man, I'm just convinced when there are so many good things, beautiful things, important things fighting for our attention right now, it's just time to get really small again and come back to something so powerful and yet so small that was delivered to us, God's own Son. And as we approach Christmas this week, I want to invite you just to get really simple, to get really small, and to get really focused on receiving our King. And so this morning, if you're in that place where that might be a struggle because life is just on you, because of the circumstances that you're up against, because of what you're facing, maybe it's just hard because it's hard. Our teams would love the privilege of getting to pray for you this morning, so please take advantage of that. It's some of the most important work that we get to do all Sunday long, and so please take advantage of that. But for the rest of us, I want to remind you that next Sunday, we're not going to be at 9 or 11. We're going to be at 1, 3, and 5, and we throw a beautiful, beautiful Christmas Eve gathering. One, that our desire, just kind of our culture from Riverside from day one is, hey, this is not just about us. We want to throw a beautiful Christmas Eve service, not just for just the family of Riverside, but for the extended Bulverde Spring Branch area. And we do that by counting on you. And so I would encourage you to ask the Lord about who you might be willing to invest and invite to come join us at our candlelight gathering this Christmas Eve. We'll be gathering at 1, 3, and 5. But man, just I always have just a broken heart and a broken spirit to think that somebody might not have a place to belong on Christmas Eve. And who might God use you to invite to our gathering so that everybody has a place to worship this Christmas Eve. So please be thoughtful and prayerful about that with the Lord. Friends, thanks for this morning. I'm going to invite you to stand and to receive this blessing as you go out to a beautiful week in which we take the words that we heard to heart this morning. God, would you prepare us to receive our King? Would you receive this blessing? And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, to be gracious to you, to be kind to you. May he lift up his countenance. May he lift up his face and turn his countenance towards you and give you his peace, his shalom. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. All of God's children said, amen. Now may you go doing the most important thing you will do all week long. Leave to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. I love you, my brothers and sisters. We look forward to worshiping with you next Sunday.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. Get plugged in and see what's going on our website. Connect, 2riverside.com. There, you can learn about us, our different areas of ministry, and events that we have going on in the community. Have a great week.